Oh, there it is. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. For the first time ever, the WIP Afternoon Show has our own embedded Washington, D.C. reporter.
Some say political correspondent.
Political correspondent, Elliot Shore Parks. How you doing out there, Elliot?
I'm doing good. I'm here standing outside of the West Wing, I believe. I was just in the press room, so, you know, putting my college degree to work, I guess.
Wow. There must be a part of it.
College degree? Where's your college degree from? Temple?
Temple University, yeah.
There you go. He could have gone anywhere. He chose Temple.
That's the one that accepted me.
It must be pretty cool just to look around and say, hey, I'm reporting from the White House.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, it is a nice day here in Washington. It's cool to see all the reporters. I think the last time I was at the White House, I was in like third grade and I took a tour. So it is definitely, you know, cool down here to be here. And so the ceremony starts at about 4:30. At that point, until then, we're just waiting. But, you know, I think they're already here in the White House, though.
Okay, so you're waiting out. So I guess what is the setup? You're waiting outside. What are they shuffling you around from place to place?
Yeah, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, do you get yelled at by the press secretary, by Karen Levitt, the press secretary? Like, what is happening out there?
Yeah, so I'll just say this. It's no joke getting into the White House, first of all. I probably spent about 2 hours trying to get in. So I have made it into the grounds. But no, I mean, it's on the South Lawn. So as of now, all the media from Philadelphia that's here are just waiting in the press room. It seems like the Eagles players, I saw Jeffrey Lurie. Julian Lurie is here. A few players already that you can see in a picture is Lane, Mailata, it seems like Dallas Goedert is here. So, yeah, as of now, we're just waiting like an hour until they bring us out. And at that point, I would assume, you know, Trump will give a speech, and I think the Lombardi Trophy will be out there.
Wow. So we got the news that Jalen Hurts is not attending today, and it said Jalen Hurts and other, you know, prominent Eagles, I think I saw the line. Do you know who else may not be attending today? Have you heard anything?
So I do not know who is going to be here and who is not. Like I said, there was a posted picture on Twitter of what seemed like a lot of the players that are here already. And, you know, I did not see like A.J. Brown. I didn't see Devontae Smith. But we will find out, at 4:30. So, yeah, Jalen not coming is obviously definitely newsworthy, though. Jeffrey Lurie was asked back at the owners' meetings in April, you know, if players could not come if they wanted to. And he said, absolutely. He said he doesn't view it as a political thing. So, you know, I think each player or member of the staff will decide themselves if, you know, they want to be here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't force somebody to go do something. If Jalen or whomever that decides not to go to the White House, they'll eventually at some point have an opportunity to answer for that themselves as to why they aren't there. Listen, taking a trip to the White House, it is a great honor when you think about it. And you don't always – listen, I don't know how many – I never won a championship, so I never got a chance to visit the White House as a champion, whether it's college or professionally. Although my daughter and I, we did get a chance to visit that White House on the outside a couple years ago, but not inside.
You were not inside.
Yes,
the White
I was not inside the White House for a tour, so – it's a great opportunity, and for those that took advantage of it or taken advantage of it, it's great for them. But like I said, the guys that aren't there, I'm sure at some point they'll be asked and they'll get a chance to explain why they chose not to be there.
Man, you know what? It's America. If you want to go, you go. If you don't want to go, you don't go. And everybody is everybody's happy with the decision that they made. I do think there is something cool about saying that I succeeded so much in my field that I got invited to the White House, to celebrate it.
I would
not begrudge anyone for making the decision to go as well.
Hell, I believe I would have been there I would have gone just to say I was inside the White House.
Right.
I mean, that's me.
And I do think it's worth noting that, you know, they did, when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, they did not come then. So, you know, you do wonder if you're Jeffrey Lurie, you've won two Super Bowls, who knows how many, if you'll win another one or what, you know, the next opportunity you'll get. So I think after passing in 2017, you have to wonder if he was like, you know what, like, this is something I want to experience. And that's probably why he doesn't view it as political, because he did pass on it before, but you don't know if he'll get another chance. So that's my guess as to why you know, he's here this time.
Yeah, and I'm sure, listen, it's a, you know, being a champion doesn't come around often for most sports franchises, universities, you know, whether it's male, females. So getting a chance to go there, although, listen, we know you can go to the White House if you sign up for a visitation of the White House or whatever, but that's different.
Different than being invited.
That's what I'm saying, being invited and really going as a team, as a championship team. Like, that's the real cool part of it, and getting that photo as a championship team. That's the thing you kind of want to take advantage of, I guess.
Now, Elliot, the players who are no longer on the Eagles also invited as well.
Yes.
So Darius Slay, all those guys. And it might be the
everybody on a championship team. Yeah.
It might be one of the last opportunities as a team to be together in a team setting.
Yeah, and so in the photo, the only photo we've seen so far, the players that are here, it does look like Mekhi Becton is there. Obviously can't confirm that until 4:30, but obviously he's not with the team anymore. I would say, too, in terms of the players being asked, because they are in OTAs, I would assume sometime in the next week or so we'll get a chance to talk to players at the NovaCare.
Yeah.
And without question, Jalen Hurts will be asked about it. Without question, Saquon Barkley will be asked about it, because Saquon, at this point, I would say, is a high-profile player that has decided to come, and Jalen has decided not to come. So, I think they'll be asked about it at that point.
Saquon was there a day early.
Yeah, Saquon on Marine One, flew on Air Force One, and played golf. Look, Saquon's
taking full advantage of his status.
Saquon's entire offseason has been about enjoying the fact that he just had the greatest running back season in NFL history and won the Super Bowl. Saquon's been drinking and going wherever he's invited, and, like, God bless Saquon for having that perspective. When are you ever going to have the opportunity to do this again?
I agree.
So, Elliot, so here is the, you know, you are Eagles Insider of the Year, 2025 Eagles Insider of the Year. You're embedded in D.C. You are at the White House. If you are given a chance to ask a question of President Trump, do you have a list of a couple of questions you're going to ask?
Well, I'm open to suggestions, but I would say the two that I would ask if I had an opportunity to ask him a question. One would be, I just got to know what he thinks of the tush push, the NFL trying to get rid of it.
Yep.
It seems like a guy that would have an opinion on that. And then also, in all seriousness, I will be curious to see if he addresses this today when he speaks. Like, the team didn't come in 2017, and now they're here. Just wonder what he thinks about that. But something tells me, despite my Insider of the Year status, I will not be getting to ask Trump a question today.
Well, dude, I've watched a lot of those press conferences. It's just about yelling it out first. You just gotta, if you've ever watched one of those press conferences with the press secretary or Trump, it's always just a bunch of people yelling and one of them getting called on.
Yeah.
So my advice to you, if the opportunity, you just gotta yell your question. You gotta go,
I will say, if that is the situation, I'm positive I'll get one in, because no one's beating me in one of those. Being raised in the Philadelphia market, I'm used to yelling to get my question in. I would be surprised if we got anywhere close enough for that to happen, but hey, you never know. That's why I'm here, just in case it does.
Just don't choke, all right? If you are in that situation.
No, he ain't choking. He's not choking.
Yeah, what if we see...
You're ready to go.
What if the quote is, President Trump was asked by Tim McManus, what do you think about the tush push? You'll never live it down.
I know you would love that. Yeah, I know you would love that.
I wouldn't love it. You're my guy. Yeah. I want you to win.
I would say this, E. I don't know the list of questions that you have there that you want to get out, but make sure, if you're going to get one... It's got to be quick and to the point.
Yes.
Quick and to the point. Something simple for him to answer. Tush push might not be a bad question there, but I'm just saying, simple and straight to the point.
How about this? Do you think Jahad Campbell is an edge or a linebacker?
Yeah. What do you think of Kyle McCord being number one on Spike's big board?
Number two. But yes.
Oh, sorry, number two. Okay,
number two. Yeah. And are you, one last thing before we let you go, Elliot, because we will check in with you after the festivities. Are you still sticking? So I went, I spent some time this weekend watching YouTube of a lot of the Eagles, draft picks. You're still sticking to this whole thing where Jahad Campbell's an edge, right? Not a linebacker.
Yeah, that's because it's not my opinion. I think that's why they drafted him. Like, I think they view him as an edge. If they thought he couldn't play edge, he would not have been the first-round pick. If he was strictly in a stand-up linebacker, they would not have selected him at 30 or 31. Now, look, we will see where the snaps distribute this year is, but by next year and, like, a part of this year too, like, he will be playing edge. They wouldn't have wasted a first-round pick on an inside linebacker if they didn't think he could play edge.
So, they hope he can play edge.
Correct. Yes, they hope he can play edge.
Do you think he can play edge?
So I keep thinking about, honestly, what Ike said when we did our YouTube show on Friday. And what do you want me to, like, it was a good point.
That's a good, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that while I think they want him to play edge, they draft him to play edge, he is very raw as an edge. But he's also very raw as an inside linebacker. Like, he's only played that position for 2 years of his life. The rest of his college career, and then high school too, he was an edge rusher. So he's actually, in some ways, newer.
Allen Iverson was a quarterback in high school. I mean, like, what are we talking about here?
Well, because I think, like, what I'm saying is he has not played inside linebacker a lot. And so when you...
But
he's played it more
than he has edge.
Not in his life. He's played it more recently.
In his life? I'm here to tell you, in high school, it doesn't really matter. In other words, he's probably the best athlete on the field. They just put him where needed. But going up against competition where you have to actually be good at your particular position because you're going up against higher competition, he's primarily been successful as an off-the-ball linebacker. He's played that more than he's played any other position. High school doesn't matter. You're the best athlete out there on the field. They just put you out there wherever they see fit. In college, they put you where they think you are best suited, where you are your most productive. And in college, he's played more off-ball linebacker than he has as a rusher.
Right, but I guess how I think he will take a good amount of snaps at inside linebacker this
year.
But I also think they view this as a pick for an edge.
I agree with you, honestly. Right. I just think you're going way over the top in pushing the edge rusher aspect of his game.
So, Elliot, are you willing to say it's a failed draft pick if he's still playing inside linebacker in 2 years?
I mean, look, it depends how good he is. Obviously, if he's outstanding. But, yeah, sure. I think the Eagles would view this as not kind of becoming what they wanted it to if he's not playing edge a fair amount of snaps, if not full-time, in a few years. Because, again, in Howie's press conference, he mentioned Micah Parsons. Micah's rookie year, he played over 500 snaps at stand-up linebacker, right? But now, obviously, he barely ever plays that position. So I think they've...
Because he's not very good at it.
Correct. Yeah. Well, that's certainly part of it. Now we'll see if Jahad Campbell is.
So let me ask you this. So when Jahad Campbell says the two linebackers he has studied the most and sort of mimics his game after is Michael Parsons and Fred Warner. One guy is a rush guy, the other guy is not. Right?
Yeah.
You would agree with that, right? So you would agree. So if I were to ask you, and I'm not, I'm just trying to get you to understand it's okay if he is a Fred Warner versus Michael Parsons.
But the difference is in terms of how Fred Warner is used, Fred Warner only goes after the quarterback as a blitzer. He's never an edge rusher.
Yes.
So I think they want to try him at edge. But also really quickly, just to paint the picture here, there is some type of emergency press conference going on behind me. Everyone
get
is
over
like,
there.
Ran over. It's not Trump. I already looked. But look,
who is it?
I can't tell.
Is it Marco Rubio? Who is it?
It's not Marco Rubio.
Okay.
But it is funny because is I'm JD Vance? Yelling about. I'm yelling about whether Jahad Campbell will play edge or linebacker.
Yeah, we're trying to get you to yell on the White House lawn.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, well, you're getting close, trust me. Yeah. And I wonder how long until they're like, all right, buddy, you guys can discuss that back in Philadelphia.
Well, if you get to question three, you got to ask Trump if players should be able to bet on themselves in professional sports.
That's a good one. If college athletes should be able to play
as long as they want. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot.
Yeah.
Elliot, here's the last thing I'm leaving you with.
Yeah.
I believe in you. I want you to get the question in.
Get it in, E.
I only use McManus to drive you harder. So I need you to get the question.
Ooh, boy.
In. All right, Elliot.
Yeah, I think we know why you use Tim, and it has to do with that. But I don't think it has to do with me.
Wow. All right.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. All right, there he is. Elliot Shoreparks, our embedded reporter in Washington, D.C.
Do you guys understand where I'm coming from with the Fred Warner?
Yes.
Michael, it's okay to be Fred Warner.
It's fine.
Arguably the best inside linebacker.
Would die if he's Fred Warner.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Like, that's not a bad thing. And Elliot is right. The only time he usually rushes the passer is through blitzing.
Yes.
Well,
Or third down. Yeah,
yeah, that's sort of what Campbell did in college.
Yes.
That's sort of what he did in college.
I just need to pin Elliott where he is so when this guy is not an edge in two years.
Right.
Because like I'm watching him this weekend. I was like, well, this guy's a linebacker. That's all I thought. Watch.
I totally agree with you. Right. Now, I understand Elliott is probably being told that the Eagles ideally would love if he can develop into an outside rusher.
Right.
I get that. That's not what he is.
Well,
no,
and right and also, okay, last thing on this. Well, not last thing, because the Eagles' first-round pick.
Yes, first-round pick.
We're
trying to get people to actually properly evaluate him when watching him develop.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get through is that, like, we have people saying, oh, he's an edge, he's an edge. I'm telling you, when you watch him play in college, he doesn't play it, but he also doesn't look like it. Physically, he doesn't look like it. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I guess where I'm at is if Elliott was like over the top on what a great pick it was. Because he believes he's going to be an edge, not because he thinks he's a great linebacker.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Is that he was great. If he was not going to grade it an A, if
it was
just
an off the ball linebacker.
Yeah. That's all. All right.
We got to stop all the circus and popping stances around it, all right?
Yes. You hear that earlier?
Yes.
215.
I wrote it out there.
Yeah, 215.
Circus
and pomp and stance. 215-592-9494.
Wake up in there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I would argue I did.
Angelo in Southwest Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Ange?
Israel. What's happening, Ike? What's happening, Spike? What's happening, Fritz?
Wait, are you Israel? Or it says Angelo on my thing. You're Israel?
Israel from Southwest.
That's Jack.
I thought I heard Angelo.
that's
not even close.
That's why the delegation is
why
suspect
over here messing
of you.
With me. Yeah, you're over here in Israel.
All right.
Asked me, and I'm like, no, not Angelo, Israel. I got a new number, not Angelo.
Okay. All right, Iz. What's up, man?
So y'all are my go-to guys.
Yes,
I added Ike, I think, on Twitter and Instagram because I believe, you know what I'm saying, what the previous caller said. I think it's a cahoots against Shador. I really do. And it's like, you know, and another caller says, like, what has this kid done? What is the character issues that this kid done? You know, so is it that you mistake his confidence for arrogance? Because that's what I really think it is, because there's no off-field issues with this kid at all. How is this kid on the big board as the number two, which he's my number one, but the number two, we're going to go by all experts, the number two quarterback that falls to the fifth round? How is that possible?
Well, here's a couple things, Israel. First thing I would say is he doesn't have to. There are different kind of character issues. You're right. No bad off field stuff. No arrests. No, this guy did this.
None of that. Kid, yeah.
Yes, but they did. If you listen to McShay said his interview with the Giants went horribly, and they questioned whether he was coachable. So here's the issue: is yes, 4 months ago he was a top three pick, but even 2 weeks ago or even last week, there was talk about him slipping into the second round. The issue is that once he slips into the second round, is you start getting like, what are we drafting here, and do we really want a hassle of a guy? We want, when we're drafting second round and on, we don't want a guy who's going to be, who we're worried about is going to listen to what we say. Yeah. We don't want a guy who's going to be a hassle. We don't want a guy whose dad is going to be doing press conferences and this, that, and the other. I know you're saying that the teams got together and said, we're going to show him. I don't think that's how teams think. I think if a team has an opportunity to get better by drafting a quarterback who they think is going to be their franchise quarterback, they're going to take him.
Yeah.
They're going to take him. That like there's no they have nothing to gain. And the other thing I would say is the upside to who he is and his whole persona from a financial standpoint for the team is enormous. If they thought of him as the best quarterback in the draft, none of this stuff would hold him back.
Right. It wouldn't. Yeah. It wouldn't. It certainly wouldn't have held him back to the damn fifth round.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
This kid has done nothing, and I mean, yes, he has not played against SEC talent. He's done nothing but gotten better and better and better and better. Well, and he showed his toughness on the field with no offensive line. He's an accurate quarterback. The kid's a leader. Yeah, you may not like his character and his bravado, but he's a leader of men. They treated Jalen Hurts the same way, but just in a different way. And I'm telling you, this kid is called by God, just like his father was, and he's going to be successful.
I hope he's successful.
Yeah, I'm
not saying, like, I hope that he shows the league that, okay, when it's time to get the bag, pay me. Pay me, because, again, you took me through all this. I'm not a fifth-round quarterback. You know, if I'm a backup, I should be a third-round. You're darn near a sixth-round where you're on a practice squad. He's darn near a practice squad player getting drafted at the draft capital he got drafted at. I hope he charged the league out the bazooka. Out the bazooka. Because this ain't right. This ain't never happened in NFL history. Never.
Israel, here's the thing. I appreciate the call, man. I understand people are frustrated with this thing. I get that. He should have been hired in a fifth-round draft pick. I think we all can agree with that. But here's also what contributes to teams falling out of love with you. All right, it's one part is on the field. They watch your film. They watch it. They watch your footage. They see what you do, competition you do it against. That's one part of it. Well, the other part of it is, and more importantly, at this position, I think that's the part where people are minimizing. It's not a linebacker. It's not an offensive lineman. It's not some cocky wide receiver or DB where you don't have the same amount of an impact on the roster and other players as you do at this position. So who you are as a leader, how you conduct yourself, your studying habits, your football intellect, all these things matter when it comes to the quarterback position. So I say all this to say what you started to hear over the weekend was that Shador didn't interview with teams well. Meaning when he had to sit down with these coordinators and head coaches and they take him through the interviewing process, I don't know what questions they asked him. I don't know if they asked him to get up to the board and draw certain plays or figure out certain in-game situations based on this, and he wasn't prepared for it. But you're starting to hear that type of stuff. So when that happens and your skill set isn't necessarily overwhelming or eye-popping, teams are going to say, well, hold on. He doesn't have a cannon for an arm. He isn't quick like Lamar Jackson or whomever. He doesn't have the biggest physique, the size, or what have you. And you got to worry about the off-the-field stuff. And now you're going to tell me from a leadership standpoint, as a young player coming in, do I want this coming in and this is supposed to be the guy? Teams, and here's the other thing, Spike, real quick. If there's only five or six teams, maybe even less, that are even looking for a starting quarterback, you don't have as much wiggle room as you would if there were eight teams looking for a starting quarterback.
That's the other thing, is as you're going through the draft, most as you're watching it, you're like, well, that team doesn't need a starting quarterback like that. And that's when it gets into teams looking for a backup at that point.
Right.
And he is not who you want as a backup. They want a backup quarterback.
It's like having Cam Newton as a backup.
It's just like it's too much.
Yes.
Right? The same thing I was saying at Tebow.
Yep.
You just think, not worth it, not worth it, not worth it. And the other thing is, like, you say he's confident. Well, he doesn't throw at the combine, doesn't work out at the combine. If you're so confident, you have an opportunity to show people that you should be there. I don't know.
He didn't do enough to dispel a lot of the things people had heard about him through this process.
Absolutely. I agree with that. 215-592.
But he still can.
215. Yes, he has an opportunity.
He still can.
You're going to be in the NFL.
Yep.
215-592-9494, talking Shador Eagles. We have Elliot embedded at the White House. We'll get any updates. He said he was there next to an impromptu press conference.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
That sounds great.
Yep. He didn't even know who it was.
Nah,
I was asking who it was.
Nah,
he didn't know who it was. All right. And Phil's, they won a series.
That was
awesome. Yes.
Who cares about Shador?
Yes, we'll talk about that next as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. My girl likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
Bernie Mac do this song? No, he didn't.
Shane Gillis. Gillis release a pop hit like this.
McGillis. Yeah, even, I mean, within the first segment, we got Kyle Aller, the Eagles drafted from ICE. Couldn't figure out Shane or Seamus McGillis.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. I love Shane Gillis.
What about Poppin' Circumstance?
Yeah. Dude, you've been on fire. Yeah. Is that, you have that neuro gum or we took the day off of the neuro gum?
I love Shane Gillis, but you putting him on the I just think Mount Rushmore.
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Similar. Similar styles of humor, I guess.
Yeah, well, his humor is paying him millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, and this is paying me in water sandwiches.
Never mind. I was going to ask, what type of humor is he?
You would like him. He's funny.
Rude? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's funny. Funny dude. Right. Definitely funny dude. Definitely. I saw him at Radio City, and then I saw him at Wells Fargo Center. Sold out Wells Fargo Center. Big deal.
You always see somebody.
What?
I know.
You always see somebody, man.
Yeah, I like going to see somebody.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow. This obviously is. I just call my dad.
Growing up,
And I'm
Did he get you in?
Yeah, I'm like, could I have $1,000 for the best tickets, Daddy?
Oh, yeah, we're out there?
Yeah.
I seen Sinners.
It's okay, right? You saw it, right?
Yeah.
It's just okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank
you. Did you go to the theater?
Yeah.
Wow. Got you in a theater, huh?
How about that?
You must have been bored this
week. Okay, true or false? The first, 80 minutes of it, you're like...
I wasn't by myself, though, yes.
Oh, all right.
Oh, well, good to hear.
First 80 minutes of it, you're like, what is this? Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell it.
It's just like a little high, a little overhyped.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's because there's no good movies anymore.
No, there are lots of good movies.
Not hyped movies. Like Oppenheimer, I think, is the last hyped movie.
Well, that movie is awesome.
Well, let me just say this.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
I understand he's a young actor.
Yes.
The acting part of it,
he's okay.
Yeah.
You don't get all the circus and poppin' stance around
him? Yeah. Listen, he's good looking. I get it. Women love him. I get it. The depth with the acting.
See, here was my thing, right?
He's still Wallace from The Wire.
That's a tough one to shake.
Here was my thing with it, right?
Wallace, yes.
He's playing twins, right?
Yeah.
But he plays them exactly the same. Like if one twin was like all braggadocious and the other guy was just shy, I would get it. But they just seem like the same guy.
Yeah.
All right. It was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't
my wife wanted to go see it. We went and saw it. We saw it. It wasn't bad.
No.
Just it is.
That's what I tried to say. Thank you.
I'm good on Michael B. I'm good.
Thank you.
I'm good.
All right. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark. That it feels good.
Man,
thank you.
Denzel.
Right. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. How would you grade the Eagles draft? A, B, C, or D? What do you think the voting is here?
A, B, C, or D? It's probably B or C. I would say probably B, right? Most people feel good. I don't know. I didn't get the sense that everybody just loved the draft, so I'd be surprised if the majority was there. I go majority B, and I'll go... Let's go 54% B.
Dude, you're back.
I'm back.
53.5% B. Now 35.9% A. Those people are lunatics.
So A is second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
A's a little. Okay. And then C, 7.9%. D, 1.8%. You know who gets an A for this weekend? The Phils. That's right.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
I mean, she's...
Brought to you by ringthebellbook.com.
Ringthebellbook.com. You can pre-order your copy now. They'll be out in June.
Next five orders, get it signed by Kevin and Jack. Free shipping?
Yeah, free shipping, of course. Maybe Eichel sign it. Who knows?
You never
know. Like it that day?
Nope, not. You keep playing these drops, you definitely won't be getting any autographs on these books.
Well, many people are wondering if the circum and poppin' stance around the book is really worth it.
Stop all the circus and poppin' stances all around.
Right.
You.
Wow, he's leaning in on this one.
It's funny because I heard it the other way when I said it.
Yeah,
that's how it happens. Yeah.
So you were rolling when it happened.
I know.
And I heard it, and I was like, I wonder if Jack heard that. And he heard it. I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah, he hears everything.
He hears everything.
Even when I'm not paying attention.
Yep.
Sometimes you slip up. So
big win.
Last night. I mean, everyone was asleep in my house. I was almost ready to parade down the streets of Westchester.
Yeah.
No idea how much I needed that win last night.
In the ninth, I texted Jack. I was like, they got to win this one. They got to win this
one. Well, first off, they never win that game.
No.
A game where it's 1-1 late on the road with extras. Nope. They never really mess around.
They lose 3-2 like they did to the Mets.
Easily. And you explain it away. I think last night, if you were on the positive side, you say, well, Nola's shoved. So, you know, who cares that they lost? It's more important they got Aaron Nola back, but they won. And Aaron Nola looked brilliant. I mean,
he was awesome.
I know Ike's going to love this. He had the cutter work on the outside corner, and then bang, backdoor two-seamer that was able to surprise some of the right-handed hitters. It was a beautiful plan. And when he went up, instead of being in the middle of the zone, he was out of the zone, which is great, changing the eye level of the hitters, and then goes back down with the curveball.
Man.
When he gets a little too curveball heavy, that's when he starts giving up the bombs. You know what I mean?
Well, because he usually misses in the zone, like high. And they hit 100,000 feet, home runs.
Guys just sit on the curveball. It's a great curveball when they're not sitting on it. And then last night he didn't do that, so maybe, just maybe, a new plan. Also helps his fastball is up like 3 ticks. You know, all of a sudden he's back up to 93. So.
Yeah. Warmer weather.
Yeah, he's a warm weather guy.
It was freezing last night, but that's okay.
Didn't look freezing.
In Chicago, it was cold.
But I'm just saying.
Okay.
Eye test-wise, it didn't look freezing.
Pooh Shiesty's Friday.
Friday, everyone was wearing the hoodies under the...
Yeah.
But not a huge fan of that.
I said Pooh Shiesty's and you guys have...
I have no idea what Pooh Shiesty is.
Yeah, that one,
I know that's what they call it these days.
I'm usually better than Jack on this, but I don't know Pooh Shiesty.
Yeah, I don't know. We're just trying to keep our delegation
where we usually are.
Yeah.
Are those knickers? Pants?
The pullover scheme.
Okay. Not even close.
All right.
Lizardo also shoved again, which is beautiful to see. But arguably the other thing besides just Nola last night, some good developments in the bullpen. Jose Alvarado.
Well, Alvarado's been good for now 4 or 5 more appearances.
Alvarado was hitting 100 last night. They fell out the strike zone. And Jordan Romano, sit on Last High Hopes podcast, download wherever you get your podcasts. We're buying Jordan Romano stock. And for good measure.
Oh, God.
He was tipping, like I told you. He was tipping. They figured out the tipping. He's up to 98 yesterday. Slider, that one he threw, almost disappeared off the screen. Fired up about Jordan Romano.
I got a real question.
Great.
Yeah.
When you say he's tipping.
Yeah.
How is it that you know he's tipping and he doesn't know he's tipping?
Because sometimes they have their tells and they don't know until they do the video camera work on it and break down what the tipping is.
What was the tipping?
I think it had to do with his glove. Like sometimes you flare it open for certain pitches, you keep it tight if you're really trying to grip a baseball.
Well, the Mets last year had a guy in the dugout basically washing for these things. Like, it was his whole job.
That's basically all Kevin Franzen, the reason why he was in the league for as long as he was. He's only there to find out if guys were tipping.
Wow.
Took a shot at your own guy, man.
I know. He's in town. Nationals are up. Nationals a little frisky. They've won 3 straight series. Took 2 or 3 from the Mets over the weekend. So, not exactly your pushover Nats.
They need 2 out of 3. They need to win 3 straight series. Oh, they play 4?
I think it's the 4-game series. Or is it 3-game series?
No, it's a 3-game series.
Definitely a 3-game series.
Yeah, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the Diamondbacks Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Nervous for the Diamondback series.
Well, you should
perpetually
be.
Nervous.
They got to win 3 straight series. So Cubs series, they got to win the Nat series, and they got to win the Diamondback series.
And then they have a nice little stretch of like Pirates, Rockies.
Yeah.
And then some of their crap team right after that. So
The Cardinals again?
The Cardinals are in there.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Cardinals, Bob Nightingale yesterday. The Phillies, among other teams, are keeping an eye on Cardinals closer Ryan Helsley, but they do not want to put Andrew Painter or Adrian Miller in the deal. Of course, he's an unrestricted free agent after the year, so he should not cost those guys. But he's a traditional closer, you know, up to 100. So he's sick, but again, it's April 28th.
Right.
And you're not trading for him until July. So I don't really get the point of the report. Of course, they're interested. And then this last thing here, I want to talk about Bryce. So, one Bryce-related thing from the weekend is that he talked about Kyle Tucker and how he's one of his favorite players in the league.
Great.
Laying the groundwork for the offseason.
All right.
But the real thing with Bryce, and this is a trust tree.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
Like, it just...
One hit this road trip or two?
I think he had two.
Okay.
I can't tell if he's in between swings. Like, he's getting breaking ball to death, and he's not adjusting very well to it. He's, like, missing breaking balls. He's chasing more than I think I've seen. But also, like, it's not high quality. Like, he's walking, but not the highest quality of at-bats. And I hope that there's nothing going on with the back. Like, that's the first thing I think about is, like, is he having back issues? So, we're monitoring the Bryce thing.
He just doesn't look confident up there
to
me.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. File that one away, though.
Yep. Speaking of good at-bats, Kepler's at-bat was in the 10th last night.
Oh, big walk.
It was a big walk.
Now, how are you?
He was 0-2, right? I think he was down 0-2. Or was it Trey that was 0-2?
Who was somebody was 0-2 battled back for a walk. Maybe it was JT.
No, I don't think it was JT.
Somebody.
What was the live cam in the Eskin household when Bohm swung at a 58 footer on a 3-1 pitch?
Dude. Now, that was a big fly ball in the 10th, by the way.
He was, but he had his second walk of the year in the game last night, which is good to see. But when he swung 3-1 at a 58 footer, I was like, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? But it's okay.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry. His defenders tell me he's still on pace for 15 home runs. He's got zero.
Perfect.
He's on pace for zero.
I have nothing to say.
Dude, 6'5". The size of Jordan Mailata. Hit a home run. Hit a home run. You play third base. You're 6'5". Hit a home run. All right. Sorry. 215-592-9494. And Phil's off tonight, but back on tomorrow night, 6:45, first pitch against the Nats. Chase in New Jersey, you're on WIP. Chase.
Chase.
That's what Bohm did. He chased. Robert in Harrisburg, you're on WIP. What's up, Robert?
Yeah, no, I don't understand. You get it confused. Some of the greatest pass rushers that terrorized the league came from the linebacker position, not from the edge. Lawrence Taylor and just recently Clay Matthews of the Green Bay Packers. They terrorized the league from the linebacker position. You don't have to put your hand down on the dirt just to get after the quarterback. Some of the greatest players.
They have
Lawrence Taylor.
They have in the league right now, the value on edge rushers versus the value of off-ball linebackers, it's just not the same. You can be a great off-ball linebacker that gets to the quarterback, but the way that the league is now, it's not that anymore. You know, it's just not. It's not LT. It's not Derek Thomas. It's just a different thing now. He can be a great player, a great linebacker. All I'm saying is that there's a difference between him playing linebacker and occasionally getting to the quarterback on a blitz or a third down passing play and playing edge three downs. That's all. And at this point in his career, the video that I watched, he looked like a natural linebacker. He can be a great linebacker. It's just to me, like Elliott saying they drafted him as an edge and that's why it's a great pick. Okay, then we'll see. Because that's not what he is right now.
Okay. All right, if you say so.
But yeah.
Like I said, Lawrence Taylor, right? He made his bones from a linebacker position.
Absolutely.
He went to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, but it was 40 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. You take care.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Would you be okay if he was Roquan Smith?
Sure. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this idea that if he's not this pass-rushing linebacker, somehow this wasn't the pick. I just disagree with that. I got to start looking at linebackers differently. This is Vic Fangio's defense. He just turned a guy. Think about this. And this is why I think Elliott is misguided here. Even though I think his heart's in the right place, but he's so tunnel-visioned that – it's painful at times. We just saw Zach Bond, who we all viewed before he got here as a guy who rushed off the edge as a situational player slash special team guy.
That's what we thought we were getting.
What he had been.
Yeah.
Until Vic Fangio got a hold of him. Vic Fangio just turned him into an all-pro linebacker and got him paid. And it wasn't because he was primarily rushing from the outside. That's why I'm saying to myself, this could be your Zach Bond replacement. This kid is only 21. Zach Bond's 27. Let's say he plays three more years. He plays his contract out. Say the Eagles don't want to pay him again when he's 30 or 31. Well, now this kid is just 24. Now he steps in there as your ultimate player. I enjoyed watching Zach Bond play linebacker this year.
He was awesome.
Awesome, yeah. Right?
Right.
Playmaker all over the field. Coverage, a run defender, blitz sometimes, tackles for losses. He was all over the field. That's how I envisioned this kid.
I also think there's a possibility that if the league continues to sort of drift back into running for a little while, let me see if this makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. and with more mobile quarterbacks, because I was working on a take, right? And I'm thinking about these speedy, smaller edge guys, mm-hmm. right? Which are taking over the league, even the great guys. But what happens is they all go sort of like wide to get there. And what it does is it leaves this, first of all, from a run perspective, it's not great against the run if you're not an edge setter. You're only sort of going one speed to get to the quarterback.
Yep.
The other thing that happens is like it leaves this part of the field, this middle part of the field open. Now that we have more mobile quarterbacks, it almost leaves an opportunity for those guys to go if there's more of these edge guys. And I just wonder if Fangio even values like that kind of edge that we're thinking about, those Abdul Carter, Dallas, Micah Parsons.
Parsons, yeah.
Like whether that, because BG always kept talking last year about setting the edge rushing as a team, And I wonder if those guys are able to thrive in Fangio's defense and maybe with where the NFL is there. By the way, it's why I think that guy, what's his last name?
Williams
went up so high. Mm-hmm. He's not one of these guys.
He's more of a pass rushing end. He's more of a TJ Watt
right.
on the end of a line
right.
as an outside linebacker. And a lot of those guys are built differently. We bring up Michael Parsons, and I know we only focus on Michael Parsons' ability to get after the quarterback and those things. And I get that. That's primarily where he makes most of his bones. I don't know if Michael Parsons lines up at the beginning of the game as an outside rusher. I have to watch Dallas a little closer
right.
for me to see exactly how they use Michael Parsons every down. I don't see the Eagles using this kid the way Nolan Smith has been used, the way Jalix Hunt has been used. Those guys have been primary rushers. Their career. Like Nolan Smith was primarily a rush edge at Georgia. This kid played a lot of off ball stack linebacker and he could blitz at times. I don't know where he's going to play at. I'm sure they'll get him out there, but it really all depends on how Vic Fangio sort of uses him in the scheme of it all.
We talk about Zach Bond a lot, and we haven't talked about N'Kobe Dean because he got hurt at the end of the year. He's not mm-hmm. going to be here. That guy had a great year, too.
Yep.
It's not just Bond that had a great year. N'Kobe Dean had a great year. By the way, when N'Kobe Dean went out, Oren Burks played well, too. So like, there might yeah. be something about this defense, that position right now, the way football is, that they might even value a linebacker more than they valued a linebacker before.
Yeah, and this defense. I think it was last year when that was Vic Fangio who talked about the importance of linebacker in his defense. You got to be smart. You got to be physical. You got to be versatile. Like all those types of things. To your point about N'Kobe and even Oren Burks, they were more of the stationary linebacker, meaning they didn't do all the different things that Zach Bond did. Like he could move Zach Bond around
sure.
where he wanted to use him.
Yeah, well, you look at the Saints game. Zach Bond was on the line of scrimmage
yep.
half of the Saints game because
yep.
of, you know, they wanted to make sure they contained that running game there, and they use Zach Bond that way, too.
As the extra edge guy.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, our draft expert, Mike Mayock.
Man.
We will get
Mayock. We'll talk to Mayock about Shador.
We will. We'll talk to Mayock about Shador, his what he thought of Mel Kiper Jr.'s meltdown, what he thought of the Eagles draft.
Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah, Mel.
You didn't get to watch Mel on Friday. On Thursday
night. Because of what you said Thursday night. I watched him Friday night.
It was out of control. I kept saying that on Thursday night. I was like, is anybody else watching this? All right, Mike Mayock joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.